Well, as you heard from Puff Puff, today is the beginning of the season of Advent, a time of holding tension between what has been and what will be. Advent is a bridge between the past, the present, the future, and the role of the Christ in all three. It is a season of hope as we eagerly await and prepare for the kingdom of heaven to be fully realized on earth. You'll see in the candles that we light each week, accompanied by a new word, that this is a season of hope and peace and joy and love. So why on earth does it start every year with such a harsh and mystifying and fear-inducing gospel text? A story about the Christ's incoming like a flood, like a thief in the night. Merry Christmas. So joyful. Well, it's important to remember that this story from Matthew was written between 80 and 90 AD. That's about 50 years after Jesus' life on earth. And more significantly, it was about 10 years after the destruction of the temple, the heart of the faith community in Jerusalem. Rome had destroyed the temple because many of the Jews were revolting against the empire's crushing oppression. So here we have a Jewish community, many of whom considered themselves followers of Jesus, feeling like the world is falling apart around them. Jesus had already come and gone in the previous generation. The empire was at their throats, and suffering and fear and chaos are the backdrop of their lives. And Jesus wasn't there anymore in person to show them the way, and they were tired and they were scared, and quite frankly they were confused because they had believed that Jesus would have returned by then to rescue them, and he hadn't. So what were they supposed to do? Enter the gospel writings, these stories of Jesus, and today's story in particular have Jesus asking, do you want to keep living this way, or are you ready for a new kind of kingdom? And if you want something new, are you ready to work toward it, trusting that I will keep meeting you there, even if it's not in the way you expect me to? This story, written in apocalyptic genre, points toward a very blunt, a very clear future, where those who are working toward Jesus' kingdom meet one fate, and those who aren't paying attention to it meet another. But here is the significant catch of apocalyptic genres. This story was not written to lay out an actual future event to be waited for, like there was some literal calendar invite to it. Apocalyptic writings were not written as predictions of what would be. They were written as inspiration to help people stay motivated and focused on what needed to be done right now. Even if Jesus hadn't returned for his people, his spirit was still with them, working to bring in a new kingdom. All they needed to do was pay attention and watch for him so they could join in. This story reminded a discouraged people that someday, somehow, Jesus' kingdom would have the final say. But even if it didn't seem to be happening when or how they expected it to, which, by the way, was also true during Jesus' time on earth, that they shouldn't give up working toward it. The text encouraged people to refuse to let love be hijacked by hate, refuse to let Jesus' mission die. But empire, which was called Rome back then, but has been around from the existence of the world, empire has a way of trying to drown out and distract from encouragement and hope. Empire thrives on people who are scattered and divided and without purpose. The way of empire has always been to get people caught up in the wrong details, and it happens even with this story. Because instead of watching for Jesus and living out his kingdom, empire has encouraged people all along the way to worry about the things we don't know, the things we can't control, things like trying to calculate when Jesus will return, We're trying to figure out who's in and who's out according to this gospel story. Empire would have us spin our wheels about the future and spend our energy judging everyone's worthiness of it. And these focal points invite fear and division, and they stop us from following Jesus. So Jesus instead invites, equips, empowers us to get caught up in the right details, to focus on what we do know, which was everything he modeled for us. And the fact that he regularly said, the kingdom of heaven is here. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, the kingdom of heaven is among us. It has already started. And everything Jesus did was in service of it. So making space for the inbreaking kingdom means making space for love and welcome, for community and compassion and generosity and peace and healing and needs that are met with abundance. It's working toward a world where we beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, because we realize that violence is not a solution to problems, but that instead we need to focus our resources on feeding the hungry and caring for all of creation. And friends, if that is not still relevant today, I don't know what is. Jesus asks his followers to stay awake, keep alert, to keep our eyes, our hearts, our hands, our minds on Christ and on the hope of his kingdom, working for him, watching for him, living under his leadership, living in the light of his grace, paying attention. Being awake and alert and aware is about having our spiritual antenna up, noticing when does spirit tug at our hearts and try to move us in a direction? Or do we notice when something is off in regards to God's hope for this world? Do we notice when we have left the path? Do we catch the invitations of Jesus to move closer to a person in need or a situation that needs our wisdom and support? Kingdom opportunities will show up like a flash flood, like a thief in the night, surprising, and we'll either be prepared or we won't. If we're ready and keeping watch, when these opportunities present themselves, we'll see them and we'll run toward them and we'll help them be lived out. And if we're not ready, we'll miss out and empire will continue to lead the way in those places. And so it's not that God punishes us if we're not ready, that God gets angry and abandons us. It's just that there are natural consequences, because living under empire rule is not what's best for us or best for the world. And then we miss out on God's kingdom, and we all feel the effects of that, and some have to feel it more than others. But thankfully, grace picks us up, puts us on our feet, and invites us to try again, to keep watch, to be ready to move. Advent is a season of remembering that the old order is no longer in charge of this world. Instead, Jesus has brought, is bringing, and will continue to bring a new order of love, covering more and more of this earth with heaven until the old order one day has completely vanished. And this text asks us which order we plan to follow in our day-to-day lives while the tension is still present. Which order are we working to expand in the world? What do we do with ourselves, in our communities, with our resources, with our voices in the in-between time? Maybe this harsh and mystifying and somewhat fear-inducing first day of Advent text is actually good news, friends. Because if we don't take it literally, it actually fills us with something to work toward, a sense of purpose. It gifts us a community to work alongside, and it leads us with an overwhelming drumbeat of hope. And hope isn't anxiety-laden. It's not fearful. Hope is eagerness. Hope is joy. Hope is a readiness to receive. Waiting on Jesus' kingdom to be fully here is hopeful because we don't have to resign ourselves to the way that things are. We can trust that somehow God will make Jesus' kingdom happen here while also living as if we can help make Jesus' kingdom happen here because somehow both are true. Hope is something that empire cannot offer us, nor can it take it away. So as we push back against the ways of empire in our daily lives by welcoming the stranger and healing the sick and speaking out for the oppressed and sharing what we have generously and choosing nonviolence and feeding the hungry and caring for the poor, we are embodying hope for ourselves and for a world that's ready for a new kind of kingdom. Friends, I know it is hard to wait. But it's coming, and it's already here. So may we continue to encourage one another to keep awake and to be ready in this Advent season and as long as it takes beyond. Amen. Would you pray with me? Jesus, in this Advent season, we have a stark reminder that this world is not quite what we want it to be or what you plan for it to be. And so we wait for you to bring your kingdom fully here, but we also know that you have tasked us with work while we wait. Keep our eyes open and our hearts ready, hands prepared to move, that we might follow you through this world and see your kingdom come. Amen.